Is it too loud?
Yes.
You want to turn it down just a little? Yeah. Thank you very much. You know, as Will was talking, and he said that Earth is the only place in all the universe where worship is voluntary. In fact, that was the whole point of creation of humanity, was voluntary worship and voluntary love. Mm-hmm. That's why even when we choose not to worship or choose to love Him, there's still a way of salvation. There's still a way of redemption. When God created the angels, He did not create them to make their own free choice. He did not create them to choose to love Him. They were created to do what they were told to do and do it when they're told to do it. That's why when there was rebellion amongst the angels, there is no place, there's no way of redemption for Satan and the fallen angels. But for us, there's always redemption. You can say it like this: hell is the greatest compliment to your free will. Why is hell the greatest compliment to your free will? God sends not one person to hell ever. He never has. You want to know who sends you to hell?
We do.
We do. How do we send ourselves to hell? By choosing not to follow God. Many are called. We're all called. God has called all of humanity. Few are chosen. We have chosen whether or not we're going to follow Him. We have chosen whether or not we're going to be His disciples, whether or not we're going to love Him. We make that choice. Although He calls the whole earth, only some choose. God's desire is that we would all choose. That's what Peter says, that He is patient because His desire is that all would come to a place of salvation. None
should be lost.
None would be lost. But we know that's not the fact. We know that some are lost, and that's because they choose to be lost. You know, in every aspect of our life, God is holy. He doesn't have holiness.
He is
holy. God is righteous. God is gracious. God is love. God is judgment. God is judgment. How is He all of these things? And He's not just all of them sometimes. Not sometimes He's judgment. Sometimes He's love. Sometimes He's holy. At every time, at all times, at the same time, He is all of these things at once. And the greatest display of that, and you've heard it 100 times, you're going to hear it 1,000,000 more. The greatest display of who God is the cross. Why? Because at one and the same time, God was the judge. That God at the cross judged the sin of humanity. And Jesus was the one who stayed in the place, who stepped in the place that took upon Himself all the sin of humanity so that the Father could judge sin in Him. But at the same time, God is love. Why is God love? Because God the Father chose to crush His own Son instead of killing all of us. And He does this, and He is all these things at one in the same time.
Amen.
We were talking yesterday, just as we were having fellowship, talking about the LGBT community and kind of where they're at and kind of what the problem is. And we said we think the problem is you have two extremes when it comes to that community, and the two extremes are in the church. The one extreme is that we condone everything. It's okay, it's not a sin. Love is love. Love who you want. We're going to condone it. Come in. You can be a minister. And then there's the other part of the church that would condemn them to hell this very minute. That would not even give them a place of a way out and a place of redemption. Yet that community needs what the whole world needs. A church that will stand on the truth of the gospel. That God so loved the world, that includes all of us, every community, every person, every sinner, every sin. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So that everybody, all of us, whether our sin plays itself out by robbing people, doing drugs, spending time in jail and doing that, whether our sin plays out because we're addicted to gambling, we're addicted to alcohol, we're addicted to drugs, or if our sin plays out in a homosexual way. Sin is sin. And God, the Son, died to redeem the world of their sin. It doesn't matter how it plays out. The church has to, and I can't speak for everybody, I can speak for us. We have to be the type of church that doesn't condone sin, but does not condemn the person. And how do we do that? In the same way that Jesus did. Jesus didn't hang out at the library. He didn't hang out at the church. He didn't hang out with the Pharisees. He hung out with the sinners, with the prostitutes, and the tax collectors. Why? Because He knew His mission. What was Christ's mission? To seek and to save that which was lost. What did He say to the Pharisees? He said, the well man has no need of a doctor, but the sick person needs the doctor. So Jesus hung out with those that needed salvation. Now, we all needed salvation, but the Pharisees didn't believe they did. They believed by being the Pharisees, by reading the Scriptures, by studying, by doing their traditions, that is what saved them. So Christ spent His effort and His time pouring into those not only who needed salvation, but knew they needed salvation. You don't need to convince the prostitute that she needs a way out. You don't need to convince the drug addict that he needs a way out. You just need to show them that way out. And the way out isn't going to a counselor. Those things can help. The way out isn't a 30-day program. Those things, they do help. But the only way out is Christ. And if we're not giving them that way out, they'll never find it for themselves.
Amen.
How will anybody believe if nobody preaches? Is that not what Paul said in Romans?
How will they know unless they hear?
How will they know unless they hear? How will anybody preach unless they're sent? Yet we sit in our churches every Sunday, and we should be here. Don't get me wrong, we should come here every Sunday, worship together, pray together, be instructed in the Word together. But the point of Sunday is not Sunday alone. The point of Sunday is Monday through Saturday. The point of Sunday is what we're doing in the world the rest of the week. We come here to be strengthened so that we can be light in the midst of darkness. We come here to be strengthened so that we can be out there in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation and we can shine as lights. If we come here Sunday and we're not doing that in the world, then you're wasting your time. If our desire is to play out the fullness of our salvation on Sunday morning for an hour and a half, you've missed the plot. You've missed the mission. We are all called to a mission. We are all called to full-time ministry. Did you know that, Gloria? You were called to the full-time ministry. We all have been. The problem is we look at the pastor and the preacher and we say, those are the ministers. They're ministers. They have their place. God has brought them up and gifted them for a reason. But we're all ministers. That's what Paul said. And I'm going to listen to Paul before I listen to even myself. Paul says we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. How does that play out? Plays out in our family. Plays out in our job places. Plays out in our community. Why? By being those who follow the mission. What's the mission? The mission we have is the same mission that Christ had, to seek and to save that which is lost.
That's right. Amen. Yep.
to spend time with the prostitutes and the drug dealers, to spend time where they're at, to go into the world and make disciples. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say, wait for the world to come to the church and then disciple them. He said, go out into all the world and make disciples. We can't do that in an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. We can only do that Monday through Saturday out there in the world. Everything we're gearing up for, chicken barbecues and fundraisers and sponsorships and handing out flyers and giving people information, what's that all about? It's about going into the world and making disciples. It's taking the gospel, not here. The gospel should be preached here. The word must be preached here, but it's got to be preached out there. Why? Because they will not come here to hear it. They just won't. This isn't a celebration thing. This is a church in America thing. Most big churches with thousands of members aren't coming every Sunday to hear the gospel preached. They're going to church every Sunday to feel good, to hear the message of your best life now. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the word of God preached. And as long as we're preaching it here, they're not going to kick down our doors. So let's go where they're at and let's preach the gospel. Is this a once-a-year thing? Yes, once a year we can do something really big in the middle of a park with the rest of the church. But this is a 365 days a year thing.
Absolutely.
24/7, 365. We should be those in the communities preaching the gospel. We must. We must do it. We must. If we don't do it, who's going to? Don't depend on somebody else because they're not going to do it. Anybody who's ever had a job, you ever heard the story of, I don't remember, but basically it all went down that everybody's looking for somebody else to do the job. And if we as Celebration are waiting for another church in another small town or another city to do the job, we're going to be sadly mistaken. We must be the ones to take the step forward and do the work of Christ in our communities, in our families, in the surrounding communities. We must have an impact for the kingdom. When this is all said and done, when you go before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're dead and it's time to go into glory, you know what He's not going to ask you? He's not going to ask you how many times you attended church on Sunday. Don't take that as an excuse not to come. But that's not what He's going to ask you. That's not what you're going to be judged by. You're going to be judged by is how you've lived your life as a believer in the midst of the world. Did we truly represent God on this earth? It's not about gifts. It's not about what great things you did. Many came to me in that day. They said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied of your name? Have we not done many good, great works in your name? Have we not performed many miracles in your name? And on that day, I will tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. There's going to be prophets and healers that are going to stand before the Lord in that day, and He's going to tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. There's going to be apostles that are going to stand before Him to hear that. It's not about gifts. It's not about the miraculous. It's not about miracles. Those things are very relevant, and they're a part of the kingdom. But if that's the focus, we may hear those horrible words on that last day. Depart from me. I never knew you. What's going to bring us? How are we going to be able to hear those beautiful words? Come and enter into your rest. It's going to be whether or not we allow ourselves to hear the voice of God. And not just hear it, but respond to it with obedience. There's been plenty of times throughout the years I've heard God tell me to do things. And I said, no. And told me to do something else. No, can't do that. Shouldn't do that. No way. Somebody else, the Lord will tell somebody else to do it if I don't do it. He will. But what will begin to happen is that voice of the Lord will begin to become dimmer and dimmer. And dimmer until you can't hear it anymore. But when we respond to the voice of the Lord, when we will respond with obedience, when the Lord tells us to do even the smallest of things, go give that woman a hug. Go tell your neighbor that God loves them. If we respond and do it, then that voice, the Lord's voice, becomes louder and louder and clearer and clearer. You can buy 12 hours for $100 how to hear the voice of God. You don't need 12 hours for $100. You simply need to respond to Him with obedience, and His voice becomes very clear. What happened with humanity? When Adam and Eve sinned, did God say, I'm not talking to them anymore? He didn't. He didn't say that. You want to know why I know that? Because God had a conversation with Cain. You want to know when we know that He had one of His conversations with Cain? After he murdered Abel.
His blood cried out.
God did not say, I'm done with them. God was still there. Why did humanity start to stop hearing the voice of God? Because they stopped being obedient to His voice. God never stopped talking. They just stopped listening. We stopped listening. The churches that are just void of the Spirit, they'll tell you God doesn't speak today. It's only in the Word. Is God's voice in the Word? Yes, it is. Is that His Word? Is that His truth? We must follow that. That's our rule for everything? Absolutely. But God speaks today. And a church that does not hear the voice of God is a church that has decided to stop responding to His voice with obedience. If God tells you to do the silliest thing that seems stupid and dumb, just do it. If I look at you like, don't worry about me. I don't matter. Will, what he may think, does not matter. You want to know what matters?
What he said.
What he said. What he told you. What he thinks. You want to know what he thinks? I so love the world that I gave my only begotten Son. That whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We don't start believing on Him. Our Genesis is the mirror word lies to you and tries to tell you that our Genesis is in God. It is not. My Genesis was in sin, was in wickedness, right, was in unrighteousness. And because that's my Genesis as a human being, I know that I need a Savior. I need Christ. Only He can do what I never could do. None of this has a lick of beans to hill to do with the Scripture today. But I just am burdened with these things. I look at other churches and I've spoken with other pastors and I've spoken with ministers that I think they've lost the plot. They've lost the plot, ladies and gentlemen. And I think of yesterday, and I look at Bob and Carol, and I look at Evelyn, and Adam, and Will, and Eric, who drove from Pennsylvania to come and get behind the fire and work the fire and work the chickens. And Sky, who came and worked the day, who gets sidetracked very easily. Next thing you know, he's at the park for an hour giving watermelon to homeless people and doing who knows what else. And I say, these are people whom God has infused with His Holy Spirit. And He's given a heart to serve. That's the greatest attribute of a believer, is the heart to serve. Not our own selves, right? If I'm only willing to serve myself, then I'm a wicked person. We must serve first one another. It's got to start in the church. What did God say? What did Christ say in John 13? He said, a new commandment I'm giving you. This is something extremely different. You've never heard this before. Here's the new commandment. Love one another. Agapeo one another as I have agapeoed you. Serve one another. Give of your life to one another. Die for one another. If you'll do this, then the world will look at you and know that you're my disciples. The thing that defines us as Christians is our love for one another. Not the size of the building, the size of the congregation, not the size of the bank account. What defines us as the church is our love for one another. Not because I think that's a great idea. I don't think it's a great idea. But I don't need to. God does. Christ said that's the mark. That's it. It's not how well you can preach or prophesy or evangelize. No, it's your love for one another. That's when the world will... Listen, God gave the world the right to look at the church and expect to see us serving and loving one another. He gave them the right. So when the world looks at the church and says, I don't want anything to do with that, they hate each other, they're divided, there's division, they're not even nice to each other, God gave them the right to do that. I'm sorry, He did. And when they have that idea of the church, it's not the world's fault, it's the church's fault. Because we have refused to follow the one great command that Christ Himself gave us, to love and serve one another. Amen. Jesus, when He washed their feet, He said, I'm giving this to you as a model. How many pastors say, all right, let's wash one. Once a month, once a quarter, we're going to wash our feet, wash one another's feet. And the Holy Spirit's just shaking His head. Somebody was saying, not saying wash one another's feet. He's saying serve one another. Don't think too highly of yourself, but love one another and serve one another regardless of what it looks like. Jesus washed all 12 of their feet, including Judas's feet. When He washed Judas's feet, did He know that Judas was going to sell Him out for silver?
Yes,
he absolutely knew that.
Absolutely.
But He washed His feet anyways. Yeah. That's the model. Do I serve the fellow believer because I think everything they do is going to be good and they're going to just get on board and do what... No. We serve and love the believer because He told us to.
If I can add, Brian, yeah. It's the only practical way we can serve the Lord. Because you're not going to heaven to serve Him personally.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. So loving one another, serving one another, is our practical
Absolutely.
Way of serving the Lord and
yes.
ministering directly to Him.
Amen.
And then to go beyond that to say, love your enemies.
Yeah.
Pray for them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And people say, I could love my enemy. But I've often said, it's not that you can't. It's that you won't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you can't, it's that you won't, because God loved us when we were enemies to Christ and to Him. And that's way how he displayed.
Absolutely.
For God displayed his love toward us, Romans chapter 5, that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And the word of God also says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So it's never a matter of I can't love them. It's always a choice saying I won't love them.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You can keep that. Peter says that in the Holy Spirit, that God has given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness.
That's right. Amen.
Can I love my enemy?
Yes, you can.
Can I love those who hate me?
Yes,
I can. You want to know why? Because he's given me everything that pertains to life and to godliness in the Holy Spirit. Our problem is we depend too much on our own selves, our own feelings, and what we can do. We don't depend enough upon the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We've talked about it. We're thinking about as much money as the hip hop in the park is costing, as Liberia's cost us, as Uganda's cost, as all these other things. Why were they successful? It's because we weren't concerned about what we could do. We knew what God could do. And we will always be able to do whatever God puts before us if we have that attitude. It's not about what we can do. You want to know why? Can we raise the money? No. Can we come up with the money? No. You want to know who can? He can.
He's got all the cattle on the hill.
He can. You're right. It's not because, well, God has a bunch of cattle. Like God owns everything. That's just all there is to it. Can God bring about the money to put together this big evangelist outreach year after year after year? Of course he can. Want to know why? Because every cent, every dollar bill, every human being, he owns. It's all his. He created every bit of it. So when we do whatever we do, from the biggest things to the smallest things, it's not about what I can do. It's not about what we can perform as human beings. It's about what God can do in and through us. And he's already made the way. He's already given us the ability by filling us with his Holy Spirit. That's the greatness of the gospel. It's not that Christ died for us, and then God says, all right, everybody, your sins have been wiped clean, now go. Now go and live a good life, and hopefully you don't screw up before you die. No. It's that Christ wiped the slate clean by dying, and then the Father said, well, let's pour out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to live in them. And now we know they're going to make it. They can run the race. They can finish the race of this life of faith. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is running the race in and through us. Not with us.
In us.
That's the difference between a believer and an Old Testament saint. The best that they could do was the Holy Spirit working with them. Kings and the prophets and the priests. But that's not good enough. Why? Because we are just that wicked. So God made the way. The Holy Spirit, not with them, but in them. And that's how we do what we do. That's how we're able to do what God has called us to do. That's why, Steve, you're able to leave your old life, to step out of prison and live a life according to the Holy Spirit, according to the Father. Not because you have a whole lot of self-control and strength in yourself. It's because he's given that to you in the Holy Spirit. Me, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit, you would never have met me. You just wouldn't have. Why? Because I had no self-control. I was selfish. I cared about nobody but myself. You never would have met me. But because God has given me his Holy Spirit, I love people. I'm kind to people.
I love you too.
I love God. I love his word. I can spend hours in the heat at a chicken barbecue because of what God wants to do in the middle of the city, not because of how it's going to serve me. The Holy Spirit is everything we need. Everything we need.
All the equipment we need.
That's it. One piece. I would say let's get into John 8, but let's...
Yeah. Can I add one more thing, Brian?
I guess so.
Yes. And the Holy Spirit's not a silent partner.
No.
How many have ever read the book Rees Howells, Intercessor? Okay, Rees Howells was a man from Wales that the Lord raised up to be a mighty intercessor, praying regarding World War II. But the Lord, Brian mentioned something about obeying when the Holy Spirit speaks. And the Holy Spirit may say something that seems really strange, but the Holy Spirit will repeat it. You know, he'll continue it, and there'll be an impression on your heart many times. Just so, is this you, Lord? And if you ask him if it's him, he'll confirm it. But at a time in Wales, all the men going to church were clean shaven. No one wore a beard. And the Holy Spirit told to Rees Howells, I want you to grow a beard. Now you would think, why does God care whether I have a beard or not? But the Holy Spirit told Rees Howells, start to grow a beard. So Rees Howells began to grow a beard. Well, his mother was all over him. What is that on your face? You need to shave that immediately. No one has a beard at church. You're going to be the only one at church with a beard. And he says, I have to do what the Lord said. Well, why would the Lord tell you to do that? So he's getting a lot of opposition in his own family because he was going to be set apart by that beard. Do you know what the word holy means, actually?
Set apart.
Set apart. And so he listened to the Lord. And the Lord didn't tell him why he wanted them to grow a beard. He just put a strong impression upon him, grow this beard.
Mm-hmm.
And then men always wore hats in those days. Always. And if we went to church, a man wore a hat and then, of course, would take off his hat in church. And the Lord told Rees Howells, I want you to stop wearing your hat. So he'd start to go out and his mother and father would say, where's your hat? Oh, the Lord told me not to wear it. What? And when he finally asked the Lord, what's this all about? The Lord said, Rees, if I'm ever going to use you the way I want to use you, you cannot fear the opinions of men.
Mm.
I want to break this dependence that you have on the opinion of men. I want to break it. And so he had him doing all these things, simple things. But if Rees had dismissed it, it could have been because he was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
What are people going to think? Here I am growing a beard. Why are you growing a beard for? No one grows a beard. Blah, blah, blah. Or where's your hat? It was simple things, but the Lord was beginning to teach him, I want you free, completely free from the opinions of men. So when I ask greater things of you, you will obey like you've obeyed in the small things.
Yeah.
So when Brian had mentioned that, you know, that really is the mark of discipleship,
mm-hmm.
obedience. You know, if you love me, you will what?
Keep my commands.
You will keep my commandments. You'll obey me. And the Holy Spirit isn't a silent partner. So thank you.
Absolutely not.
What?
Oh, well,
basically, he had him doing a whole bunch of things. I remember that because I thought, why does God care whether I have a beard or not? But the Lord led him into a very powerful ministry where mm-hmm. he brought him before people he would never have thought he'd be standing before for fear. He had to break the fear thing in him. And you know, most people don't lift their hands in church to worship. They may feel like it, but they don't.
Yeah.
You know why?
Fear.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna say something.
It's like, someone's gonna say something. I'm gonna look weird, and you know what?
If you look weird, fine.
Do you know what the amazing thing about it is? It's about the relationship we have with the Father. God's concern isn't right. God's not saying everybody that's worshiping better raise their hands.
No.
You want to know what He's saying? If I tell you to raise your hands, just raise your hands.
Right.
And there'll be some that never raise their hands, and I don't get the judge and say, why didn't they raise their hands?
Right.
Doesn't matter. We can't judge another person's servant.
That's right.
It's a relationship. Some of us are going to worship very outwardly, boisterously, loudly. And that's because the Lord has called us to be that.
And he's wired us that way.
And some of us are going to worship very softly and not outwardly. And it's all right.
Right.
Because there's some people that God has called to worship in that manner. The only thing that will ever be the thing, this whether or not you're worshiping right, is what has the Holy Spirit told you?
Right.
What has God told you? No person, no pastor, no minister, no worship leader can tell you to worship a certain way. Only God can.
And the important thing there as well is when someone, do you remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem? They were cutting down palm branches. They were taking off their coats. They were laying them in the street. And the Pharisees said, Jesus, stop them. They're making a spectacle of themselves. So you're right. Mm-hmm. If God has, if you're a quiet worshiper, that's fine. Just be a worshiper.
Yeah.
But don't condemn
those
that
are loud worshipers.
The person that God's called to dance before him.
Yep. And if you're a loud worshiper and a dancer and an arm raiser, don't condemn the person that's not called to be that.
Exactly. Be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells you. And that was always, you know, we built this church, we built this work, I should say, on the premise of whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. And whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, don't do it. And it's worked for us these 15 years.
Yeah.
And you know? If you love God that much, you do it.
Yeah.
You don't care what people say.
Right.
And that's where God wants to get all of us, to that place where we don't care about the person. We care about God.
But I tell you, Jesus said if they were to be quiet, the rocks would cry out.
Yeah.
And when David danced,
he danced pretty boldly.
David twirled and danced and leaped. And his wife, Michael, said, oh, weren't you glorious today?
Yeah.
And he said, it was before the Lord I danced. And if you think I'm vile today, I'll be more vile tomorrow. I will say one thing. God judged Michael, David's wife,
harshly
by causing her to be unfruitful.
Mm-hmm.
And an attitude that says, I won't obey, or I won't give in, or I will judge others who do, God will never bless that.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray.
Amen.
Father, I just thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that you're the one that leads the service. You're the one who leads the church, Father.
Yes.
So I thank you today, although we didn't open up the scripture like was planned, Lord God, we just allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way. Father, and I thank you for that, Lord. Father, I glory that there's going to be more services where the Holy Spirit has his way. And we just kind of allow him to do it, Father. So I just pray and I ask the things that the Holy Spirit has spoken today that our hearts would be open to receive it, Lord. None of us feel condemned, but let us all feel what we heard today is a path to walk as a believer, as a Christian. That we will be those that would stick to the mission to seek and to save that which is lost in the same way that Christ did. So yes, when we're hanging out with the prostitutes and the drug dealers and the drug addicts, let the rest of the church and the Pharisees and the Sadducees scoff at us as we walk according to the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Lord. Father, I pray for everybody right now in this place that needs a touch of your hand, Father God. Father, I pray.